this podcast is for you, the modern man. I'm Dr. Anne Truong, your host. I'm an intimate health medical doctor and best-selling author of the book, Erectile Dysfunction Fix. I'll do a deep dive into sexual health and performance and how it affects men of all ages and backgrounds. So let's get started and be sure to visit my website at sexualhealthformenpodcast.com for more information and resources from the show. See you on the inside. Hello there, modern man. In today's episode, I have Jim Edwards, multiple serial entrepreneur, one of my coach to help me with my marketing and copywriting. And he had so many accomplishments, it's hard to even list. But the reason why he's here today is because I've asked him to come and share how an entrepreneur journey is and if ever how he maintained his health to the best possible shape he is. I can tell you, seeing him personally, he is in pretty good physical shape, and I'm gonna dig and find out how he does that and leading a busy business as well, and kind of see what the intersection between sexual health and entrepreneurship is at this point, coming from the famous Jim Edwards. Jim, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ann. I'm excited to be here. A little nervous about what you might ask me because I know you'll ask me anything. So I'm excited to be here and thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's dive into this. Jim, how do you keep in such great shape and have a successful business? What's your secret?
A few things. One, I go to bed at the same time every night and I wake up at the same time every morning.
What time is that? What time do you go to bed?
I go to bed at 8:30 and I get up at 10 minutes to 5.
Okay.
So I'll read nonfiction. I get in the bed at 8:30. I'll read nonfiction for about 10 minutes until my Kindle slaps me in the face. And then it's like, okay, time to go to sleep. And then I wake up at 4:52, actually. I know that sounds weird, but just 4:52 is what I have my thing set to. I get up, I take my dogs out, I stand in the yard, and while they're doing their thing, I visualize my perfect self for about 10 minutes. I literally stand there and visualize not what I'm going to do today, not the stuff that I'm going to accomplish, not my goals for 3, 5, and 10 years down the line. I visualize myself as my perfect self, the person who's capable of handling anything, the person who calmly achieves, the person who works out, the person who maintains control over what he puts in his mouth. Then I go upstairs, I drink black coffee, I sit on the pot, and then I go work out. I try and be in my home gym by 6 o'clock. And I work out for anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes. Then I sit in the sauna for 30 minutes. And when I'm sitting in the sauna, I'm usually working on, that's like the beginning of my day. So I will think through stuff. I will have conversations with myself about thinking things through. I have special paper that I write on that I get from a place called Write in the Rain. So I found that when I used to sit in hot tub, but then I got a sauna, which I love more than the hot tub. Then I have the thing that I've been thinking on all night while I was asleep. Usually that just like pours out of me while I'm sitting in the, and I've found something really cool about the sauna, sitting there for a limited time with that raised temperature, for whatever reason, just really engages my brain. And I do some cool thinking. Then I go back to the house, take a shower, take the dogs out again. And then I come over to the office and I try and be in the office by 8:45. I don't always make it by 8:45, 9:15. So somewhere in that 30-minute window. And then I feel pretty ready to take on the day. And then you're talking about health stuff, but the health and the entrepreneurship and the making money and everything, it's, everybody thinks of it as separate. So you hear of like work-life balance. And no, it's all life. There's no such thing as work-life balance. It's just life. How are you living your life? And so I actually don't see a difference between when I'm working out and thinking, or I'm running down the road and thinking, as when I'm sitting in front of my computer and thinking. You know, sometimes I do my best thinking when I'm doing pull-ups. And then I have flip charts set up in my gym. I have flip charts and whiteboards everywhere. And ideas come to me. I'll stop in the middle of working out and outline the entire thing and then keep working out. And then as far as like, what do I eat? I've struggled with the over the years with my weight. I'm in the process of losing 25 pounds. I got 6 to go. When my dad died last year and then my mom got sick and a bunch of other stuff, I started stress eating and I just decided that I was gonna, life's not perfect. So when stuff happens, I just said, okay, this is the day I'm going to do it. I actually started using the Weight Watchers app and just to create that mindfulness of what I was putting in my body. Anyway, I mean, just being mindful of what I eat, going to bed on time, getting up on time, having that schedule, taking my vitamins and good stuff like that.
Okay, so congratulations, by the way, for working on the weight loss. It is not easy
It's
to
getting
be an
harder.
entrepreneur. Yeah, it's getting harder, getting older, but working and weight loss, because when you're focusing on your business, the stress level goes up, cortisol hormone goes up, which then increases weight gain because it really created imbalance in your testosterone hormone, especially for men. But one of the things that you do, what I'm seeing is that you spend like 3 hours in the morning for you.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, taking care of yourself from 5 a.m. You don't get to the office until 9.
Yeah.
So it's really all 3 hours investment in your health.
Yes.
Is that every day?
Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday, I usually sleep in and snuggle up with the wife. And then my wife, not any wife. And then I try and get in the gym for like an extended cardio session or just to make up for something I might have missed during the week by 8 o'clock. And then Sunday is like completely nothing. No working out, no work. The only technology would be my Xbox. I have one complete full day of rest every week minimum, preferably two.
Okay, I love that one complete full day. So I really want to dive into what you just said earlier. So essentially, the bottom line is that you spend 3 hours a day dedicating to your health, mental health,
Yes.
as well as physical health, and which is not easy. But then you get up at 5 a.m. So you create like a jump start for the day. I love that. And so what you said was that you spend visualization of your perfect self. Can you kind of dive into that, what that means?
Sure. So, in order to create anything, first you have to be something. In other words, you can't create value if you're not already a person of value. And so a lot of people visualize their goals, which I do that as well, like cars and money and vacations and shit like that. That is very fleeting. If you want to take it back a step, in order to create that stuff, you have to be the person who's capable of creating big things. So instead of visualizing big things exclusively, I visualize myself as capable of anything. And then that creates the momentum and the confidence and the magnetism to attract those bigger things. And that also gives me an opportunity to work on things that I might struggle with, like charging high enough prices or increasing my prices or patience. Because I know it's hard to believe, Dr. N, but I can be impatient sometimes. You've never seen that side of me. But just working on patience or understanding or empathy, those kinds of things. A lot of times I'll choose one thing. And I mean, it would get kind of weird with it. Sometimes if there's something I'm doing that I don't like, I will envision it almost like a tumor or like a substance I have to get out of my body. And I will visualize excising that, whatever it is. And if there's something I want to install, if there's something I want more of, I will visualize it as like a glowing orb or glowing substance that I literally either install in my heart or install in my head. I know it's out there, but I mean, it works for me. But if you think about it, you can't accomplish anything if you are not the person who is able to accomplish it. So why wouldn't you visualize being the person who's capable of accomplishing anything before you envision the other stuff? So it's worked for me.
But it's like you're focusing on yourself and kind of like your future self or the self that you want to be, but not so much the goals that you get there. Is that right?
Right, because I want to focus on who I need to be to accomplish all of the things that I set out for myself whether it's my to-do list for the day or my plan for where I want to be in the next 5 years. That's the thing that people don't do. They visualize their goal and trying to attract their goal. But if you don't become the person who's capable of manifesting the goal, you're never going to get the thing you want. You're not.
I love that. Oh, we have to quote that line. That is a one-liner. We got to quote that line. So to practice that, and it seems like you mastered that, how would you recommend somebody dealing with anxiety?
So what is anxiety? Anxiety is fear about something that you're afraid might happen. And so fear is based, and I've heard false evidence appearing real. It's fear of something that might happen or fear that something's going to keep happening. But either way, you've got to become someone or to recognize that you already are someone who is capable of dealing with it if it happens, or is capable of changing the circumstances if it's happening right now. So again, dealing with anxiety, typically I have found if I'm feeling anxious, it's because there is something that is undone. I have not done it yet. Or something I have not learned yet, or something that I am afraid I won't be able to figure out. So I've also reprogrammed my mind that wherever there is resistance, that's where I need to lean in. That's actually a clue that this is an area not to run from, but to run to, so that you can solve that shit and get it off your plate. Because most people run away from their problems instead of turning around and punching their problems in the face.
Because it's easier. It's easier to do that. So
in
how
the short
do you get
term,
the courage to do that, though? It's easy to say. And the reason why I'm kind of diving into that is that that's a subject that I hear a lot from the men that I work with that are entrepreneurs and executives, is that performance anxiety in the bedroom, but also just anxiety and stress that they're dealing with that is flowing into their personal life as well.
So a couple things. One, anxiety also comes from when your focus is not in the present that you can control, but it's either in the past where you're worried about something that happened and whether it's going to catch up with your ass, or you're worried about something that's going on right now that you haven't done anything to address, or you're worried about something in the future that might happen, but might not happen. It's also about getting very present about where you are, what you're doing, and what you can control right now. And I have found, as far as anxiety is concerned, is that if I know that I have done everything I could do today to the best of my ability, 99 times out of 100, when my head hits the pillow, I'm able to sleep just fine because I know I did everything I could do and should do today, and tomorrow I will do the same. So part of it is just being really present and being very, very purposeful in your action, because that anxiety is coming because you haven't taken an action you should take, or you're worried you won't take action when you should, or you're worried about actions you did take, and it's just worrying about crap. Handle it. And you say, you know, it's easy to say and it's hard to do. No, it's not. Stop being a wuss. Too many people are like looking to make excuses or have just, you can make excuses or you can get results. You can take action or you can sit there and whine about it. And I think that's important to understand, is that it's not easier to say than do. It's actually easier to do than it is to say, even if you're doing it in a half-assed way. Because a half-hearted action, at least getting, you know, I can say I worked out today if I did a push-up. But if I'm out in the gym and I'm dressed for the gym and I do a push-up, I might as well do another one. And crap, I'm already down here. So let me go until I can't do anymore. And crap, I, you know, it's just get the momentum going. So I don't think it's easier to say than to do. I think it's stop being a wuss. We got a lot of wussies in this world.
I like that. I got a lot of wussies. So how do you manage stress?
Part of how I manage stress is that 3 hours that we talked about. Get enough sleep. Don't do dumb stuff. Don't do shit you're ashamed of. Half the reason why people can't get enough sleep is because they're doing stuff that they know either isn't way, or they're only making halfway action, or they're doing weird stuff. If someone were to follow you around with a camera for a week, would you want them to publish that documentary or burn the film? You know, are you doing everything you can every single day? I can't answer that every day that I do it. I fall down on my sand, but that's the ideal that I strive towards. Plus, if you work out consistently, you eat right, you treat people right, you know what the hell you're trying to do in your life, you've got a purpose, you stand for something, you got morals and all this stuff. And hey man, I'm a screw up too. The better I get, the more I realize I have to learn. But when you do those things, that automatically handles a whole lot of anxiety. But okay, if you're fat, you eat wrong, you're wasting time all day, you're cheating on your wife, or you're looking at porn all the time and jacking off or whatever you're doing, and you're wasting your money and you're not being a good steward, you have no spiritual connection in your life whatsoever. Yeah, you probably ought to be stressed out, because there's a whole lot of signals coming at you that you're not living right.
Interesting, interesting. So how do you define confident man?
A confident man, I believe, is a man that knows that he can be a protector, that he takes care of his family, that he is able to handle things physically. I know that if somebody attacked me, I could give them a run for their money. I mean, I might come up. No, I'm serious. If somebody attacked me, I'd give them a run for their money, and they might kick my ass, but I know that they'd think about it tomorrow. And I know that I could protect my family. I know that I could drag one of my family members from a burning building. I know that I can handle myself in business. I know that I can stand up on stage in front of 5,000 people, or stand in front of a room of third graders reading Dr. Seuss and be just as impactful on them as I am on the 5,000 people that want to learn entrepreneur stuff. So a confident man is a man that's living his purpose, who is the best he can be physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially, doesn't cheat on his wife, and takes care of his kids and old people. How's that?
Yes, I like that definition. And believe it or not, many men struggle with that. And with our society nowadays, it's always been a little blur, you know.
No, there's not.
The confident man.
No, there's not. No, there's not. I'm going to push back on that. A tiny bunch of the population hijacked what a man is. A man is a freaking man. And you know what a man is, okay? Because I can tell you what a man's not. A man is not a guy that acts like a wuss, okay? Yes, you can be sensitive, but a man acts like a man. That's when men feel the most fulfilled. That's when men feel the most impactful. And that's when men have the most positive effect on their families and on society, is when a man acts like a man. Not toxic masculinity, but we know the difference between being a wuss, being a man, and being a toxic asshole. Be a man.
I like how you define that. And so we're both entrepreneurs. We both have businesses. How do you prioritize your health? Why is that important for you to do the 3 hours, 5 days a week, and spending time on your mental health as well as your physical health? Why? Why is that? And what prompted you to do that? Because when we wake up in the morning, there are 10,000 things to do and so forth. And the first thing you want to compromise is your workout, right? Yeah. But you got a lot of things that you need to do.
100%.
Yeah. So what prompted you? And I know that you're very regimented. You do it every day. What prompted you to create that dedication routine?
Because in my 30s, I was fat as hell. I was 260 pounds. I was in terrible shape. I couldn't walk to the mailbox without getting out of breath. I couldn't make love to my wife. I got out of breath doing that. And I had a doctor, I was diagnosed with a heart condition and told that I had heart failure. And I said, wow. I was not willing to accept. And I was making millions of dollars. I was very successful, but I realized that I could be successful and dead. And I also realized that if I'm broken physically, I can't win mentally. Here's the thing. I almost feel like I'm cheating when I work out and when I do this stuff, because it makes me so much more mentally sharp. I can do more in 2 hours than most people can do in a day. I can do more in a day than most people can do in a week. And I can do more in a week than most people can do in a month. And I can do more in a month than most people can do in a year. I can do more in 5 years than most people will do in their lifetime. And so it's a very selfish thing that I do when I take care of myself like that in the morning, because I am so primed when I get in here to my office that from 9 to 12, I crush what anybody can do in a whole day. I mean, I'm moving from one to the next and confidently getting it done. And the other thing I constantly tell myself, though, while I'm doing it is that don't worry about what's next. Focus on what you're doing right now. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at how long this is or isn't taking. Just focus on this task and doing this task to the best of your ability to completeness. The other thing I do, it allows me to do, is shorten that gap between moving from one task to the next. A lot of, oh man, I'm glad that over. Phew, I deserve a break. Bullshit, you don't need a break. You take about a 5-minute reset thing and then you move on to the next thing, chucklehead. I mean, most people only get about an hour done before lunch and an hour done after lunch with 3 hours of bullshit on both sides. It's true. Mm. So it's very selfish for me to get the race car revved up and be able to run around that track at 200 miles an hour instead of in the Yugo going 25.
And you think the secret of you being so efficient and your productivity is tied on to that 3 hours that you dedicate to your health?
Yeah. Plus, I'll be 58 in November. I can do 20 pull-ups in a row without stopping. That's pretty good for a 58-year-old man. Mm-hmm. So it also gives me a lot of confidence and a lot of just pride in myself, not bragging and stuff like that, but just I feel good about who I am. And that lends itself to better performance at work and in the bedrooms.
I'm glad to hear that because that's kind of where we're heading. That. So are you satisfied with how you are in the bedroom? And I assume yes, because if you're physically taking care of yourself, then your bedroom performance will follow.
Sure. I mean, here's the thing, though. Also, now my wife is 8 years older than me. So she went through menopause and our relationship has changed over the last 30 some odd years. We went from, you know, bunny rabbits to now I get as much satisfaction from cuddling and being close as I do the other stuff. I just do. I mean, it's much more intimate in a lot of respects than the other stuff. Plus, there's not the cleanup. So I'm not saying we don't, but I'm saying it has changed for me over the years as well. And so I grab my wife all the time and cuddle her and kiss her and tell her I love her. And to me, that level of intimacy is on a consistent multiple times a day basis to really hold somebody, look them in the eye, tell them you love them, mean it. And everything to me is just as, if not more important, because again, attaching the feelings to that and that sort of intimate emotional interaction is something that you can do for the rest of your life, regardless of whether the plumbing breaks down or whether you're taking the blue pill, the yellow pill, or somebody's pissed off or wants to stay up and watch reruns of Conan. I mean, it's important, but it's physically not as important, if that makes sense. And I'm not blowing it off. I'm just saying that's kind of what I've seen everything evolving. I don't have to prove my manhood with my wiener, if that makes sense. You know, yeah. I don't get that sense of, you know, I have to feel like a man because I can go for 17 and a half minutes while she's going, Jesus, will he ever be done? That kind of thing. It's just that's it's, kind of stuff you want to know or not. But I mean, that's
no, that's you. That's uniquely you. But I do want to circle back. We said when in your 30s, you were in poor health. You weighed 260 pounds. You even had ED then as well, too, in your 30s. So you make the decision to turn your health around. And what did you observe with your erectile dysfunction? What was the evolution then?
Well, I didn't have ED. What I had was like, I got out of breath. I'm going at it.
Got out of breath.
I'm like,
yeah.
I had to stop.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't an ED problem. There was cardio.
It's a cardio problem.
It's cardio.
That's concerning. In your 30s? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I was fat and fat. So what did I do? Yeah, I made a decision that I was going to get my ass up early in the morning and I was going to walk. And so I said, okay, I can get up. I know I can walk. I can walk. So the first morning I walked like 15 minutes. The next morning I walked 30 minutes. Then the next morning I walked 30 minutes, but I walked about 50% further than I had walked the day before. And so I started walk. I just walked every 7 days a week. I was walking in the morning and I started losing weight and also started being mindful of my food choices. Then I decided, okay, my weight loss slowed down. I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You want detail? Here's detail. I saw the Boston Marathon bombing and I saw a guy wearing a backpack and on his thing, it said, tough ruck. So I looked it up and I learned about rucking. And I said, okay, I can wear a backpack and every pound I lose, I'll put a pound of sand in the backpack. That way I'll be carrying the same weight to keep my weight loss the same. And so I got up to where I had added 35 pounds of the backpack. And I was like, shit, this is heavy. So I stopped adding more weight to the thing. And then I got involved with a company called Go Ruck. I did started doing these challenges and stuff with special forces people. And I just kept increasing what I was doing to be in shape. I ran a half marathon. And then a few years later, I actually did the Boston Marathon with 35 pounds on my back.
Oh, wow.
And so that was kind of a full circle moment with what I had seen on TV that was the start of my fitness journey. So we did 26.2 miles in 8 hours and 5 minutes with a fat toddler on my back.
You know, 35 pounds is a lot, but that was the weight that you lost, right?
I lost more than 35 pounds. I got down to 190.
Yeah.
So I lost 70 pounds in about
Yeah, you lost 70 pounds without medication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without taking medication, you did it to Darwin, and obviously it's sustained until now.
Well, do you? I've had three separate events where I got, you know, most recently I got up to 230, but a lot of it's muscle. I mean, it's a different kind of 230, but it was still, there's a lot of fat. I mean, I was like, oh yeah, I'm just bulking up. No, I was a fat ass again to a degree, but I just made the commitment in the last couple of months. I've lost close to 20 pounds. I've got six more to go.
How'd you lose the weight?
Moving more and eating less. It's not complicated. I mean, it's moving more and eating less. Yeah.
Yeah.
And eating smarter.
Right.
And I've learned.
You use the Weight Watchers, right?
Yeah. I use the Weight Watchers app. You just track yourself.
Yeah. So it's really going down to the basics. But the hard part is, you know, as an entrepreneur, you don't have a lot of time for that. And I guess you justify
by
saying. That's
not true, though. You don't have a lot of time for that. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. Elon Musk has the same 24 hours in the day that you and I have. It's how you choose to invest. And something I started doing a while back, I'm going to show you this real quick. There's something else I do to be mindful. See, most people are not mindful enough of their time and what they're doing. You see those? Okay.
What is that?
Those are eight. She's like, what is it, Jim? Okay. Those are eight silver dollars. Even though they're a dollar, they're each worth about 40 bucks. And I have this stack of them on my desk. And I have a simple piece of paper with a vertical line on it, okay? And in the morning, all eight of these start out on the right side. And I give myself credit for the investment of an hour of my workout and stuff in the morning. So then at the top of each hour, once I show up over here and start working, you know, but it's 9 o'clock. It's not 8:30, it's 9 o'clock. I have my ass in here, okay? So at 10 o'clock, I pick up one of these and I ask myself a really simple question. Did I wisely invest the last hour in my business? And if the answer is yes, it moves over to the left-hand side. If it doesn't, it goes back on the pile. And every hour that I'm sitting here and I'm working at the top of the hour, I ask myself a question. Did I wisely invest the last hour of my life? If yes, it goes over on the left. It's a real simple little 5-second thing, but it forces me to evaluate whether I'm wisely investing my time or not. And I'll be honest with you, Dr. Ann, I never make it through the 8 coins. So I started doing that. I might sit my ass here for 10 hours and I have never once made it all the way through all 8 coins. Now, what does that tell you? Are we investing the time that we all have every day to the best? I don't want to hear that bullshit of you don't have enough time. We all have the same amount of time. It's how are you choosing to invest it and use it?
Wow.
Sorry to correct you on your own podcast.
No,
I'm just saying, but
no,
that's you want to know
it.
How
no,
I think. That's how
to,
I think.
That's right. Well, that's your perspective, and I totally respect that. That's your perspective. We hear that a lot, right? I don't have time. I don't have time for this. It's like that's why it's so hard to lose weight. because you don't have time for this and that. It's really about prioritizing. I
But
love
if your
that
perspective,
point idea.
but if your perspective is, I don't have time, your perspective is your reality. So if you constantly say, I don't have time or I can't, guess what? You don't have time and you can't.
So before we end, I want to ask you, okay, John, this is one of the most challenging things for men that we work with in the sexual health is the performance anxiety. And oftentimes, everything works fine, but then they start getting thinking about the what if or what has happened in the past. And oftentimes, there's also the perspective that I got to be rock hard. I got to be satisfy her and all that. It's almost like a different perspective. And I see that more in actually older men, like in their 60s. Which is even more challenge for them to do because the older you get, it's harder to have a firm erection. In your opinion, how can a man kind of reframe that to be more productive for him in the sense that he's not caught up in the what if and the past?
That to me shows that you're focused on yourself. And if you truly are interested in taking care of your partner, then you should be focused on her and what's going to make her feel good. And here's the other thing. And I mean, again, there's this emphasis on your boner, but there's a whole lot of things that I can do to make my wife scream and have sparks shoot out of her butt that have nothing to do with my boner ability, quality, duration, or other. And when I focus on her, I'm worried about her pleasure, not my pleasure. And if she's happy, I end up very happy. And so seriously, anxiety comes from not focusing on the present. It comes from focusing somewhere else. And so I would just offer that of your sexual interaction with your wife. I mean, if you're worried about it, fold it in half, jam it in there. It'll probably work. But I mean, other than that, it's not just about the boner. It's about the whole thing. And if you focus on her instead of yourself and your worries about you, then that might get rid of fair share of that performance anxiety for some people. I am not a medical professional and not qualified to give any type of medical advice. I'm just telling you from my personal experience. Anytime I get all into me and my problems and my worries, nothing ever really works out. But when I focus on as an entrepreneur or as a husband or as a dad or as a grandfather, when I focus on adding value to those around me, I never end up on the short end of the stick.
I love that. I love that, how you phrase it. And I asked it for everyone that I interview, and everybody says almost similar, but a little different take. And I love the way how you approach it. So one last advice. What would you advise a man how to stay virile, how to stay sexy, how to stay connected to his wife? What is your one advice you can give to the men listening to this podcast?
If your wife is your best friend, which I believe she should be, if she is the one that you love the most in the world, which I believe she should be, then treat her that way. And if you do that, you'll do fine.
And that is how we are going to end, gentlemen. You have heard it from Jim Edwards. Treat your wife like the queen that she deserves, and the love of your life that she deserves. Because when you do that, she's happy, you're happy, right? And thank you for sharing that. So thank you for being here, Jim. I'm appreciative. You share your wisdom, and I've actually learned something for you. I will copy your silver dollar idea and see how poorly I do, because I'm definitely not going to get 8 in a day for sure. But it is still will be something that it gives me quantitative data on how I'm doing. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to start doing that actually tomorrow. And so, having said that, thank you for being here. And Modern Man, we'll see you in the next episode. Okay, Modern Man, you are not alone and you don't have to suffer anymore. ED can feel isolating, frustrating, and even defeating. The endless guessing, the quiet shame, the weight of not feeling like yourself. It's exhausting, but here's the truth. You are not broken, you are not alone, and you don't have to figure this out alone anymore. The Get Wood Now Boost program is your step-by-step path to sexual confidence, and restoration. No more suffering in silence, no more trial and error, just real solution, real result, and the confidence you deserve. It's time to take back your power on your term. Let's get this journey started together. Check out the course at getwoodnow.com. I'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the Sexual Health for Men podcast. If you love this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it on Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post. And be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you like to hear in the future. That will help me know what's great for you, and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift designed to help you improve performance quickly. Go to my website at sexualhealthformenpodcast.com to get the book, The 5 Common Costly Mistakes Men Make When Facing ED. I would appreciate it if you subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and just know that you can have sexual vitality for life. I appreciate you. Until next time.